back. Once again, this is Jim Santel, Morning Cannolis. We are talking this morning about criminal constitutional process. We've been spending a lot of time talking about the search warrant out of Mar-a-Lago this past week. And I've asked Dick, a caller from Madison, to stay on the line because he was raising some very good points. Dick, we've still got you here on the line. And you were talking right before the break about one of your concerns, that if indeed this search warrant affidavit is released, that it might be put to inappropriate uses, maybe cherry-picked, I think may have been your word, information released not completely. And again, there's no doubt that this document is going to be lengthy. And so it's one of those concerns, I suspect, that the government has, and also the magistrate judge has, about what uses are going to be used, purposes for this affidavit, if indeed it is released. I think a very legitimate concern. And then we're going to a second issue about Bill Barr and the former president's counsel. Dick, let's get you back in the line and talk about those issues and take your good questions. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just find it fascinating that his call following still is down with this nonsense. I think that there's truly something in this. If he's to be indicted, and even if he isn't, I think, here's the other thing, and one last quick question I want to ask about indictment. They're going to squeal crazily if it's done before the midterm elections, because then they're going to say, oh, the DOJ is stepping in here on the scale on the elections, you know, like they did during the 16 campaign. And then when it worked to their advantage and Comey reopened things looking into Clinton 10 days before the election, there you go. But anyway, the whole thing just smells foul to me.
And Dick, I appreciate so much your comments again, because they raise important issues here. And this issue about the timing of an indictment is very important. My own sense is that whether it's out of Mar-a-Lago or the other things we've talked about in previous shows, January 6th, other matters that may be the subject of investigations and probably are the subject of investigations by the Department of Justice, my guess is highly unlikely that there will be indictments on those things, frankly, in what, 80 or 90 days or so here. But your point still holds well. We're going into another presidential cycle fairly soon. If indeed there are indictments in 2023 and 2024, we're coming up on another major elective cycle here, including the presidency itself. And the Department of Justice does have internal policies. It's not statutory. It's not constitutional. Basically says a very, very kind of a soft rule that says, you know, if you're about 60 days or so outside of an election and you've got the prerogative to do it, there's not a compelling reason to go ahead. Typically, you don't want to have an impact upon that political process by announcing an indictment right away. There are circumstances, however, where the rule of law and the requirements that you enforce the law require that you go ahead and do this. So it's not a hard and fast rule, but that sensitivity to the timing of any indictment, including one, for example, of a former president, people around him, that looms large inside the Department of Justice as well. We'll chat at some point down the road about this other issue that you raised, Dick, about the implications of that, perhaps in 2023, 2024, if there are charges in this or many other areas that are out there. Again, all of that, as we're indicating in this second hour of Morning Cannolis, coming out of a grand jury, this private process, appropriately private under Rule 6E of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, under the Constitution of the United States of America, that establishes this independent group of citizens who look at evidence and determine whether or not there's a basis to charge. After the grand jury takes a look at that information, they will either issue what's called a no true bill, which is, again, looking at me or others and saying, we do not concur, or most often, after the presentation of evidence, they will return a true bill, just the way that this is described. The grand jurors, the foreperson will sign it. U.S. attorney often signs it as well, seem to indicate that there's concurrence in this. And at that point, then, the case becomes public. That's when we kick in with an arraignment and a plea hearing. That's when we have the start formally of public proceedings in a federal district court, in a state court, in those states that have grand jury proceedings. When there are opportunities to contest, for example, the conduct of a search warrant and file motions to suppress and file motions to dismiss and other things in anticipation of the trial on the charges in the grand jury indictment. And so that sort of brings to a circle, if you will, the process. It begins with the investigation, including perhaps a search warrant, documents, testimony, resulting in an indictment that goes forward into the public domain. And so that's some of our civics presentation this morning. We've got a couple of the callers, and so let's take them this morning. I'm going to go to Larry. Larry is on a phone for a while here. Go right ahead. Larry, what is your call or your comment this morning about our subject matter? And Larry, we'll see if we've got you on the phone here this morning. I think you're there. We'll see if there we are. All right, Larry, glad to have you with us today. Larry, are you with us? Okay. It looks as if Larry's with us, but we'll go on to another call. Maybe we'll come back to Larry in just a moment or so. CJ is also with us this morning. CJ, why don't you give us your thought or your comment here? You're calling from Stoughton. We appreciate that very much.
You betcha. Thanks for taking my call, James. You know, I think this proves that the timing of this is suspicious. The serving of the raid, he wasn't arrested. The compiling of documents, everything since he's been president. This is a fishing expedition. Who does the AG, the Attorney General, and the DOJ serve, James? Who do they serve at the pleasure of?
And CJ, we appreciate very much the call. Always on this program, other programs on this radio station.
I hope
station,
we can have a discussion.
And absolutely,
I'm curious.
Right?
I believe it's the president.
And the answer, CJ, is that like all attorneys general, they should be serving who? The public, right? They should be serving America. Hang on just a moment or so, because there are some good questions you raise here. The service that they provide to the American public, whether you're the attorney general, assistant U.S. attorney, the FBI, all these folks are guided by what? The rule of law. And the reason for my raising all of this, hang on, CJ. The reason for my raising all of this is because they're guided by what? The Constitution of the United States of America. They're guided by statutes. They're guided by the rules that we're talking about. And there is this very important checks and balances process out there that requires that they come forward and they present their evidence to an independent magistrate, as we said in the first hour, and that person also checks on the legitimacy of that information. So again, CJ, appreciate the call, appreciate the observation, and we'll look forward to having you calling again some point down the road.
Yeah,
thanks so much for your call this morning. We have another caller on the line, and Gene, you're with us from Eau Claire. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for taking my call, and I'm sorry, but I have to say this to CJ. CJ, grow up. You're acting like a two-year-old. You don't go after the people that are offering the opportunity to speak and hear your have your voice heard. Knock it off. You did it to every person that's given us a voice and everybody a voice in our country and in our state and in our country. So please knock it off, because it's very annoying to all of us that really want to hear what James has to say.
Gene, thanks for the comment. Again, to your good point, we like to think that this is an opportunity for everybody to be heard. We also need to focus on what's real, right, and what the process is. And it's all about education, and I suspect that's what prompts your call this morning. So I appreciate that very much. Thanks so much.
Yes. One thing I'd like to bring up is I think, unfortunately, now we've seen all of the legalities that is involved in this particular president. I mean, we saw with our own eyes the attack on our Capitol. We saw with our own eyes. I mean, I was an eyewitness. I was watching live, you know, his speech before they all marched down there. I watched the Mueller trial, you know, when he was presenting the evidence. I watched those witnesses on the stand. I watched with my own eyes. I listened. I was watching live every day. I didn't watch recaps.
Right.
And God darn it, our rule of law has got to get out of the politics and do the job, because everybody's worried about the political problems with us. When Hillary Clinton was investigated, I thought, yeah, this is rotten, but if there was something found, it needs to be investigated, because this would be bad if there was something in there and it was a good thing to get it investigated. It didn't impact me at all because I'm independent and I wanted to know what the devil's going on. So we got to take the politics out of the law and do the legal things that would be required if there was an election, or if there was an election, they need to do this because this is so expanded, even in the fake electorate, in all of this stuff. We need answers and we need, we need rulings. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Absolutely, Jean. Appreciate so much your calling in, and just to reaffirm the rightness, if you will, the thoughtfulness and the focus of your comment. That's what this should all be about, right? Justice is not partisan. Justice is not political. It should be focused upon the facts show what the law is, and that's what we're talking about in all these programs on Saturday morning. And wherever that justice leads, wherever the facts lead, where the law compels us to go, that's what law enforcement should be about. And I'd like to think, as Jean just indicated, it is apolitical. It crosses party lines, and it's premised upon the interest of the rule of law, the things that are best for the American public. Jean, appreciate your comment, both about our conversations here this morning and also about what this is all about, why it is it's important to enforce the law in America, in the state of Wisconsin, and beyond. We're going to chat more about all that and talk about another case involving a charging disposition in our last moments here on Morning Cannolis right after the break. Thank you so much for joining us here on WAUK, the Shaw in Waukesha.